On 1116 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki.
28 minutes past nine, and before we go any further, I should say congratulations to the AFL who have got it right and scheduled a bye for both Port Adelaide and the Gold Coast next week. They are the only two teams, I believe, Troy, that have the bye next week.
They certainly are, Shebex.
So well done.
And you were alerted to the fact.
The AFL,
yes.
They listened to me and they made the amendment very quickly.
Yes, and the SMSs were right onto it, Shebex. So,
good to see everyone's awake.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well. Australian Test Fives captain David Warner's unbeaten 69 has set up an 8-wicket win for the Sunrisers Hyderabad in the Indian Premier League, and with it has also boosted their hopes of a top to finish. James Faulkner fared a little better than Aaron Finch on the day, also making 8 before falling to Mohammad Siraj. Moses Henriques also made 12 runs over there in the IPL. Mitchell Johnson, a couple of wickets for him. So not a bad day for the Aussies over in the IPL. Not a good day for the Melbourne Storm, though. Looked like they might have had it all wrapped up until the Gold Coast Titans thought they'd score a couple of late tries in that match and beat the Melbourne Storm. The final score there, 38-36. And to tell us more about that and other NRL stories, Josh Mashood from Channel 7's NRL coverage joins us. G'day, Josh.
Hey, boys, I'm in shock.
Oh, aren't we all?
I just cannot believe a Melbourne Storm team could score 36 points and lose a game of football. Some very uncharacteristic performances by them this year, isn't it?
No doubt. And I think the sign was there. They were only 2 points up at half time, weren't they?
I think it was level at half time.
Okay.
Maybe. It was 18 all.
Yep.
And both halves were very similar. They started slowly, got to a decisive lead, and you would have thought Melbourne would have just gone on with it and won quite easily. They dropped their guard at the back end of both halves, really. Up 36-28 with 7 minutes to play, you just don't see Melbourne lose from there. But they found a way to lose, and this is the opposite of the team we've become used to. They seem to always find a way to win. So it was a really bizarre performance, and Craig Bellamy, rightly so, absolutely seething afterwards. He said it was the worst defensive effort in his time at the club.
The win was made more incredible, Josh, but with the Titans, they were down on their bench. They were injury-stricken.
That's right, yeah. At the end, they were down to just one fit man. One of those men they were missing was Jarrod Hayne as well. He went off with a knee injury too. So Gold Coast, they're a gutsy team. They often can pull off these miracle wins. But I don't know if the Jesse Bromwich saga was playing on Melbourne's mind a little bit. I think there might have been a bit of a hangover as well in that poor defensive effort in the last 20 minutes against the Dragons, where they leaked 4 tries. They didn't pay a penalty for that on the scoreboard or on the competition ladder, and often when you don't, then it can be worse next time round.
It's one that they'll be ruining the Melbourne Storm, because they've always come into this period of time, and that'll happen in the next few weeks now during State of Origin period, where it's been very tough for the Storm to get wins because they do lose so many of their good players to State of Origin. A win here would have given them a nice little buffer at the top of the ladder and may have held them there at the end of the State of Origin series.
I can't add any more to that. That is a great point. It's so many years they go in well on top of the ladder. They're still on top of the ladder. They will be at the end of the round. But, yeah, no doubt, it's 2 points they've thrown away. And to get it back, they're going to have to win with basically a reserve-grade team somehow during that Origin period.
The double headers, Josh, a stroke of marketing genius at the Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah, it's been going on for, this is the second year that they've had them, and they've had them on a Friday night about 5-6 years ago. With these things in rugby league, what tends to happen, the first year it's huge, it's a full house. The second year it starts dwindling 10%, 10%, 10%. So they've got to find a way of reinvigorating it. But 44,000, a very, very healthy crowd and a great night of football. Whether or not you could do them still in Sydney, they had them here about, 15, 16 years ago. The Olympic Stadium actually opened with a doubleheader and got 110,000 people, which is just ridiculous for rugby league. But, I think they've got to think of new and novel ways to get crowds, not just to rugby league guys, but to all life sport, because we're not competing against other codes anymore. I see the competition as technology, as phones and all the other pursuits that you can do on the weekend. So they've got to find different ways.
I wonder whether they could ever actually look at doing a Melbourne Storm and a Melbourne Rebels game, doubleheader at Amy Park. I know they're two separate codes, but wouldn't it be great if the two codes could get together and actually promote rugby per se? I know they're two different sports, again, league and union, but just to try and get a big crowd into Amy Park to see those two teams would be great.
Yeah, the one thing that would spring to mind as a difficulty would be like the sponsorship stuff.
Yeah,
you'd probably have to rely on those LED screens a lot, and also if they've got different porridge rights with their alcohol and all sorts of things.
Well, even the TV rights would be different too.
That's right. Well, yeah. that might be okay with some. It's both. If it was a Fox only broadcast, it might be all right. But having it on a particular channel, and then different staff going in and out of the commentary box. But look, it's good thinking. But look, as is, you look at Melbourne Storm's crowd at Amy Park this year, and they've been very, good. Very healthy, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They have.
So they don't need to boost it too much. The last game against the Warriors was just about a sellout.
The other game there at Suncorp was that game between Brisbane and Manly, which was a cracker of a game as well. Brisbane getting up 24-14 in the end and consolidating a spot now in the top three.
Yeah, and a weird one. Like Manly scored three tries in the opening 8 minutes and were up 14-0, and they held that lead for about 40 minutes and then just got worn down towards the end of the game. But the big turning point was them losing their fullback, Tom Trbojevic, who was a lock for the Wing to make his Origin debut for New South Wales in a few weeks' time. He's gone off with an ankle injury. They've fallen apart completely. And then even worse news, Trent Barrett comes out afterwards and says he might be out for the season. That's a huge blow for both New South Wales and Manly if that is the case. But he has had ankle problems in the past. He had surgery on both of them over the off-season. So our thoughts with Tom Trbojevic, let's hope it's somehow going to be okay for him.
And a tremendous performance also, Josh, with Penrith overcoming the Warriors, a 22-point deficit and getting up at Pepper Stadium 36-28.
Yeah, it felt like we were watching touch football yesterday. All these games were a bit airy-fairy, weren't they? It was just, there wasn't much emphasis on putting your body in front of other bodies and defending the New Zealand Warriors. Fair dinkum. How could you be a Warriors fan and not be in the cardiac unit every weekend? 28-6 they were leading at half time, and they not only surrendered the match, they surrendered that lead by the 54th minute mark. So in 14 minutes, Penrith scored four tries and looked like they were going to go on and win it by 20 or 30 at that point. And then it became a bit of an arm wrestle. Penrith with a match winner with three to go. I'm worried about Kieran Foran, guys, for the Warriors. He just does not look free at all with his back and hamstring. Penrith's final try, he was running on the spot like some sort of Elmer Fudd cartoon. And it just looks like he's not the player. He's not stretching out like he can. His running game isn't what it is. And Canterbury might have a bit of a job ahead of them, the physio department, to get him right next year.
Josh, great to have you on board as always. Thanks for joining us today, mate. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Josh Massu joining us here. Other scores in the NRL over the weekend. North Queensland 30, Canterbury 14. Cronulla defeating St George 18-14. South Sydney also winning their game 28-8 against the West Tigers. We'll take a break when we come back, talking some soccer with Daniel Garb. Also still to come, tennis and a bit of golf as well.